Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. I'm J.P. Shadrick, and today is Tuesday, June 28th, and this is our weekly look at news and people around the Jags organization. Summer break continues for Jags players and coaches, and for many around the front office as well. Construction continues at Everbank Field. The finishing touches are starting in the East and West U.S. Assure clubs, and the South End Zone construction is underway officially. But an official groundbreaking should come sometime in mid-July. We're in for a treat today. We'll visit with Jaguars defensive assistant Monty Kiffin. It's story time with Monty. And that's always interesting. He'll give us some good ones today. You don't want to miss it. That's coming up soon. But first, some news from around the Jaguars organization. And we start with news about Monty Kiffin. He and Broncos assistant Wade Phillips were selected as the class of 2016 for the Paul Dr. Z. Zimmerman Award by the Professional Football Writers of America. It's an award given for lifetime achievement as an assistant coach in the NFL. Now, Zimmerman, the namesake of the award, covered the NFL for 29 years as Sports Illustrated's lead pro football writer. Monty Kiffin enters his 29th season as an NFL coach. He started his playing career as a two-way tackle back at the University of Nebraska and played one pro season with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in 1965 as a defensive end. Now, Kiffin started his coaching career as a defensive assistant at Nebraska in 1966 and first broke into the NFL as an assistant for the Bart Starr-coached Green Bay Packers in 1983. Congrats to Monty Kiffin, part of the Dr. Z Award class of 2016, and we'll hear from Monty Kiffin coming up. The Jags held the Tallahassee Takeover this weekend at Madison Social near Doak Campbell Stadium. Telvin Smith, Rashad Green, and Jalen Ramsey, all three a part of the 2013 National Championship team. Well, they all returned to campus to sign autographs and meet some new Jags fans just over a couple of hours away. FSU President John Thrasher and his wife Jean were in attendance, along with a big group from the Seminole Boosters. A fun time, a good group of folks in Tallahassee Saturday afternoon. Check out the recap video on Jaguars.com. And the U.S. men's soccer team is coming to Everbank Field Tuesday, September 6th to face Trinidad and Tobago. Tickets are on sale now. Go to Ticketmaster and find the page for U.S. soccer against Trinidad and Tobago here at Everbank Field. And congratulations are in order for a couple of Jaguars employees, assistant defensive line coach Aaron Whitecotton and premium ticket member specialist Heather Holzendorf were married over the weekend. Whitecotton enters his fourth season with the Jags. His first three were as a defensive assistant. And the former Miss Holzendorf has been in the Jaguars member relations department since 2013. Congratulations to the newlyweds. Our guest today on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast is defensive assistant Monty Kiffin. Coach Kiff, how are you? Good to see you.
Well, I'm doing good. I'm pretty fired up, I tell you that right now. We're going on vacation for a little bit here, but that's all good. But it's been a lot of fun. Gosh, since the day I signed on, it's been full speed ahead. And I just can't say enough about the Jaguars. And I'm not here to, you know, any big deal or something. But I'm just telling you, the excitement around this building, yeah. You walk in, every morning you walk in this place, I mean, up and down the whole hallway. I mean, from the kitchen to the football meeting to everybody in the whole place. You walk in and there's security people are here and they open the door for you and hear, well, how you doing, Coach Kiff? I said, I'm doing great. And then I leave it, go back. I'm sent down in the hotel right now and got a little place there and I'm 5 minutes from work. And so I get there real quick in the morning and I set the alarm and the phone goes off or they give me a call and bam, I get here 5 minutes and away we go. And it's been awesome.
It's apparently not like that everywhere though. Right? I mean, if you're saying it's so great here, and is this abnormal?
Well, no. There's a lot of good places, yeah. You know. But I think the thing about this place is, let me tell you this. I told Gus the other day, and I tell the guy, hey, and I'm not saying this because Gus Bradley hired me. What the heck? I don't give a hoot who Gus Bradley is. I'm just telling you the truth. I've been around like good coaches, yeah. Some really good coaches, some great coaches, some coaches not so good. And there's a lot of those guys out there, too. Mm-hmm. Gus Bradley, he's such a good guy. He should win. I said, Gus, we got to win here. These players are good guys. You're a good guy. The staff's a bunch of good guys. We just got to get it going. And the owner knows a darn good guy because Gus, you know, he's had a little bit of time here, you know, to get it going. But we need to win because he's too good a guy not to win, and it's going to happen. It really is. Not because I'm here, because he's a darn good football coach. It's going to happen.
Motti Kiffin is with us, Jaguars defensive assistant. Do you remember your first ever meeting with Gus Bradley, and what stood out about him, and why did you bring him to Tampa?
Well, we were looking for Joe Barry went to Detroit as a linebacker coach. Was going Rod Marinelli was linebacker coach with us. Went there to be a coordinator. So we got a quality control coach, you know, and we're looking around NFL here and there, and a lot of people planning a chance to go with John Gruden. Heck with Monty Kiffin, just chance to go to Tampa Bay Buccaneers or whatever. And so I called this guy at North Dakota State, and his name was Jimmy Burrow, and he was played in Nebraska. I had coached him years ago, way back, and the head coach at North Dakota State at the time was from Nebraska. But I just called Jimmy. I said, I'm looking for a good young coach who can coach linebackers, but he's got to, you know, train for a whole year. He says, oh, my gosh, I got a great guy. I said, now, don't slow down. Everybody's got a great guy. I hear there's a million recommendations. I want a good guy, not just so-so. He's this guy named Gus Bradley. He said, I know your enthusiasm. I know how you coach. I played for you. I saw you coach. I was Jay with you. And I know what you're like. And he said, I just know you like this guy. Well, lo and behold, I didn't know Gus from the man. But I call him up and ask him questions and this and that, you know. And he'll tell you the story. But make a long story short, I said, well, it sounds like you know what you're doing here a little bit on the telephone. Because if you know what you're doing on the telephone, I get you in person. But I said, what do you think about coming down to interview with John Gruden and myself and the people here at the Bucks? And he goes, gosh, that'd be pretty exciting, whatever. Make a long story short, he comes down. He walks in, and I'm sitting there, a couple other coaches, you know, and John Gruden. Mm-hmm. And he gets up on the blackboard and starts going through scheme and this and that. And Gruden turns to me and says, where'd you get this guy? My God, this guy's got enthusiasm. He says, Jiminy Christmas, when they hired him, and he sounds like he's already coaching here. And that was how it got started. And sure enough, we bought it as 1 year, but it was no guarantees. The guy, the family's got kids, and all the other kids were all young then. And they pick up and left a good place, North Dakota State. They won all these national championships and stuff. And they come down and said, but there's no guarantee that you're going to be the linebacker coach when Joe Barry leaves a year from now. So he trained at Joe Barry for a whole year. And the rest is history, but he's awesome.
Motti Kiffin is with us, Jaguars defensive assistant. That was, I guess, Gus's break into the NFL. Do you remember your first big break as a coach? What was your first coaching gig? Was at Nebraska, right?
Yeah, right. No, I got really lucky. I was a GA there for a couple of years. Yeah. Bob Devaney, famous coach, who got the whole thing started, and Osborne followed him and whatever. Now, there's been a whole lot of head coaches. There's been a few, but there was Devaney and Osborne there for years. But as Jay, and he went through back-to-back 6-4 seasons, and there's a lot of heat from Omaha, big backers, same as everywhere, Florida, wherever.
Yeah, at times have not changed that.
And so it's back-to-back 6-4 seasons. And they said, Devaney, could he still do it, this and that, you know. So they had some staff changes, and I played for him, and I GA'd for him and stuff, and a good relationship. But that mean he had to hire me. So I was at a young age, I got hired full-time. They only had three coaches in those days, three of us. And he won back-to-back national championship in 70-71. But just the story is, we had some really good players. But I was very fortunate. A lot of great coaches don't get a young break like I did. Yeah. And my son Lane did the same thing. A boy named Chris is the same way. But I was very fortunate, and then we just kind of took off from there, you know.
Sure. Your first time in the NFL, what was your first NFL gig?
Green Bay Packers in 1983 with Bart Starr. And I was interviewed and trying to get in the NFL. And Parcells always says, NFL means not for long. Well, I was there 1 year, and Bart's a great guy, great coach, great quarterback. But he'd been a head coach there for 4 years, and it was his fifth year, and he needed to make the playoffs, and we didn't make it. So I was one and done.
Oh, so, no.
Yeah, like Parcells said, it was not for long. So and my wife, she wanted to, we're in the NFL, you know, big time now, so we built a nice home, white picket fence, yellow house. That's a great story. It was yellow siding. We get fired. And the first thing I said to my wife, Robin, I said, well, what are we doing building a white picket fence in Green Bay, Wisconsin? She thought she was in Tampa. Well, that came years later. And anyway, so the house, we had to sell it. It didn't sell for 3 years. Who wants a white house, yellow house with a white picket fence in Green Bay, Wisconsin? There's snow. You can't even see the fence. My gosh, it's unbelievable. So then I ended up, I get fired there. Or we all get fired. I hook up with the Buffalo Bills. Well, my gosh, I'm at the Buffalo Bills. Well, the sun doesn't shine a whole lot in Green Bay. It shines a lot less in Buffalo. Right. That's up around Cleveland, up that way. Sure. You know. And we're there. 1 year we go 2-14. 1 year. Oh, my God, this is going to be a short career. I held on for one more year, and then I went to the Minnesota Vikings. But that year I was student 14. It's a funny story because I was there, and Pete Carroll was the second year coach. Pete and I had coached together in college at NC State.
That's right.
And Pete was at 31 at this time, but he didn't coach the NFL. And so Kay seemed to have hired him, and he's a good young coach and this and that, you know. And then Pete, they were 2-14, and Pete Carroll, a lot of people don't even know the story. But Pete got let go that year as a secondary coach. He never got fired quite once by the Jets, once by New England Patriots. But they forget he was a secondary coach. He was 31 years old. And they were 2-14, and he went, and he got fired.
Really?
The head coach says, now I tell you what, the story around on the street was the heads are going to fly on Monday, Black Monday,
yeah,
NFL.
Yeah.
Well, some heads flew that day, you know. Oh, I lucked out. I just kind of hung in there. And then, but Pete Carroll gone up to Minnesota Vikings to Bud Grant, who had come back. And then the rest is history. And Bud Grant, and he took off. But he was a good coach. He should have never been fired, to tell you the truth. But anyway, so then I was there in the Minnesota Vikings. Then I went to the Vikings. The second year I went to the Vikings from Buffalo. So I hit some cold weather spots there for a while, and then I finally got to Tampa and warmed up.
You got smart after that. Monty Kiffin is with us, Jaguars defensive assistant. Your head coaching gig was with NC State. 1980, you went to NC State for the first time. But that's your only head coaching gig. I know you've interviewed other places, I'm sure, right, as a head coaching candidate. But why did it not happen,
Monty? Well, probably could have happened a few times when I was the Bucs, you know, there's some real good opportunities. There was one after winning the Super Bowl, there were a couple opportunities. But basically there was just one. But it just didn't seem right, you know, the time, and it probably wasn't, and I'm not gonna say what team it was.
Yeah.
And somebody else took the job, I had a couple opportunities and stuff. No, I wanted to be head coach again, but then I wanted to make sure it was the right job, you know, because I had a good situation. And it wasn't like it had to be the perfect job. It wasn't like I had a bunch of people knocking down my door. But anyway, but it turned out I had a nice run there at the Bucs, whatever.
Yeah, you had a decent run at the Bucs, no doubt about that. Let's talk about some of those teams, especially the Super Bowl winning team. That defense, I mean, it could have, at the end of the day, 3-4 Hall of Famers on it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I mean, who was... If you had to pick pound for pound the best player on that defense, who do you pick?
Well, it'd be hard to pick one person because it was that. But we got there in 1996 with Tony Dungy, and the cupboard wasn't bare. It was really there. It was a draft pick in 1994, 2 years earlier, by the name of John Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1995, a guy named Derrick Brooks and Warren Sapp. So when we got there in 96, and we always ended up calling them the Big Three. And then 1997, we got Ronnie Barber, and it became the Big Four in 2002. But it started out 96, 97, 98 was the Big Three. But those three guys were really good. I wouldn't pick which guy was the best. But Rich McKay and Jerry Angelo and the staff, John Isaac, who are now, and John and I talk about, they did a great job of drafting. I see the same thing happen at Jacksonville. I see the draft. I see some free agents. We got some great free agents. Sheldon Quarles, the starting middle linebacker, great player. Simeon Rice. Cheetah Hamlin to go up and down to Greg Spires. And we won the Super Bowl in 2002. I think there were five guys that started the game who were all free agents, but along with draft picks. So you got to do both. And I see that happening here now. We just got you give us a little more time. We got to get going.
When you first came around here, it was kind of you were here as a going through candidates and defensive coordinator candidates. Kind of you're around. You were just kind of hanging out as an extra mind here. And then you came on staff. You're officially part of the staff now. Did you ever kind of see that happening? Was that your goal when Gus first called
you?
No. I mean, what happened?
No, I'd coached for years and years, you know. So they're 28 years old. And I'm a couple years older than that now. But I had coached all these years in college and pro football until last year. And I didn't have a job last year. I laid out of football for 1 year. So I visited Pete, went out to visit Pete because I hired Pete way back in NC State years ago, and Mike Tomlin we'd hired in Pittsburgh. But they asked me to come. I never ever said, you guys owe me a job or this or that. You know, I came by to see Gus last spring for OTAs. So I just said, you know, if it'll happen, it'll happen, you know. But I didn't like to push myself on something. So Gus this spring, he says, why don't you come over and we're going to make some changes on defense and just kind of sit on the interviews and then go through our draft with us and kind of just get a feel for it. And I think Gus, that's why he's smart. And I, oh, gosh, that's great. Hire me. I didn't do that. And he didn't do it either. Gus, he says, let's just stay the course. Let's get around the building a little bit. People know you and this and that. And he believed in me, but I didn't want to push myself. I mean, he did it the right way. And then one day he called me. He says, I talked to the owner and I talked to Dave Caldwell. And they said, we're going to do it. I said, oh, my gosh, Gus. But you know what? I said, how long drive is it from Tampa to Jacksonville? I said, I know that Highway 201, you got to watch the speed traps.
That's right. They have them. Yeah.
But I might have broke a few records that day getting there. No, whatever, no. But I came over a couple days later, but after he officially hired me. But again, but he did it right. He's done it the right way. A new coordinator. I didn't come. I'm not over here to, hey, God dang, I'll show you how we did in 2002 or 1996. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear all those stories. I'm a defensive assistant. They got a great staff here. Todd Washington did a great job. And Gus, of course, and Ole and I coached together 3 years at the Bucks. And Ole, I've told you before about Ole. I think Ole's something else. I mean, he's a young John Gruden, really. And you wait and see. He'll be a head coach before too long. But anyway, so it's just a good fit as far as I know some people. And then the rest of the staff, they're all good. And I go up now. All you guys are good. I love this place. I said, Gus, I didn't come here to be one and done now. God dang it, we're going to be here a while.
That's a good mindset. That leads me to the next question. Do you ever see yourself not involved in football? Actually retiring and hanging out in Tampa and going on a boat or whatever you do?
I tried that 1 year. It doesn't work.
No.
Well, you need to retire. I said, get out of here. I said, don't hunt. And all due respect, don't hunt and don't fish and don't bowl. And you're going to go for so many walks with your wife on the beach. That doesn't work. I said that when I was 62 years old. She heard on TV that night. He came out the field. They asked me, I was 62. You want me to think about retiring? I don't spell retire. And so, but no, I just love football. I love young coaches now that I'm not, I don't want to be a head coach, coordinator. I just want to help young coaches get better and young players. I just love coaching players. I always have. I mean, since it was a rookie or a freshman in college or what, I went back to college with my son Lane, and we go here, and I just love coaching players. You know what? And they say the NFL. I always had a saying, and I like to pass this on to younger coaches to help them someday. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, NFL players are overpaid and this and that, you know. And I tell players, because I'm honest with players, I say, you know what? And I don't appreciate people saying that because they make a lot of money, yeah. Well, but, you know, also we make money as coaches, but you can only play so long. NFL, this is your career. You have a window of about 5, 6, 7 years, whatever. I'm still coaching, if you just noticed, and I'm not that old, but no, I'm still coaching.
Yeah.
Because my legs don't go. I don't go out quite as fast as I used to. But God dang it, I can still get around. You can only play football so long. So I tell these players when they come in, I said, listen, look at me now and listen to what I'm telling you. I'm going to help your career. Your first contract isn't the most important. It's your second one. I think through being a good coach, if you're a good coach, you'll help players get their second contract. That's what I try to do, and that's what you should do. I mean, that's sincere now.
Yeah.
But you've got to be a good teacher to do that. I tell coaches, you got to be a great teacher. I went to Nebraska, major in phys ed. You know what the N on the hat stands for Nebraska, don't you? You don't know what the N on the hat stands for
in
Nebraska?
The hat.
Yeah, it stands for knowledge.
Oh.
I went there, okay? So, all right? I can't see you didn't know that.
No wonder.
Well, because you didn't go to Nebraska.
Obviously. That's why I don't have enough knowledge.
That's why you're not smart enough. And I went there, but I went there to play football and play in the NFL someday and be a coach. My dad was a high school coach. That's what I wanted to do. I'll be honest, I hated to go to college. I hated to go to school. I loved college.
Yeah.
I loved college life. I loved playing.
Everybody
football.
Loves college life.
I didn't want to go to class. But I took phys ed and you had to take kinesiology. I didn't know how to spell it. I had to take kinesiology. I sat in the first row because this guy was such a great teacher. Talking about showing cadavers and talking about cadavers and stuff like that. God, I didn't miss a class. I'd miss the next three classes in a row before practice. But I would never miss this class. But I tell coaches, if you're a great teacher, players want to be there. They want to listen. But if you're just up there BSing and yakking and talking, do this, do that, show me how to do it. Don't tell me. Can you explain to exactly? You got to communicate with them and make them better.
Monty Kiffin is with us, Jaguars defensive assistant, giving us some knowledge with an end today. I got to ask you while I have you here. You got to coach for your son. You've mentioned it a couple times when Lane was a head coach. Now he's offensive coordinator at Alabama. What was that experience like for you, working for your son? That's a little backwards than
that was,
the norm.
Yeah, that's a little different. I think normally, like, I'm at the Bucks and coached all these years in the NFL. I never dreamed about going back to college. And he called me one day and said, "Dad, what do you think about coming to Tennessee?" I said, "Whoa, whoa, slow down here now." I said, "No, it's a great place, Knoxville, the ball walk, 103,000 people." But I grew up in college football. I left college football in like Nebraska and Arkansas before I went to the NFL. And then I'm thinking, there's a pretty neat stadium down there. So I went down there. Make a long story short, I went there. I thought I'd be there for a while. Bought a beautiful home right on a golf course. I only play golf. I've been over looking down over the third hole, you know, and stuff. And all of a sudden, he gets a call from SC. And he says, "Dad, what do you think of going to SC?" I say, "SC, I just got here." I said, "It's like one and done. We're going to, like, the high school player come play NBA basketball." But I'm rattling off these stories. But anyway, that's kind of – but coaching my son, it was great. He was really great. And then I went back to the Cowboys after that. But and he's done very well. It didn't work out there. Then he got let go or whatever. But he's doing good in Alabama. But he started at a young age, a young coach and this and that. He kind of, you know, another story? I got some stories
to tell. Come on, bring it on. That's why we're here.
So one time, I'm in the staff meeting with Lane.
Yeah.
And Lee, I'm in Southern Canada or something, a couple of years there. And he goes, "Hey, Dad," I go tell some story to the staff. And he goes, "Dad, these people, these coaches don't want to hear all your old stories." I said, "Hey, shut up, kid." He said, shut up, kid. I said, "I got a lot of stories to tell. I've been coaching a long time. So I got a lot of stories to tell. So you're going to listen, okay?" So I got some stories to tell. So that's another story I just want to tell you. The point of it being is that, you know, it's all good. But I had to tell you about Lane and the one and done thing and all that stuff.
No doubt.
But he's done a good job. And Coach Saban and him are headed off really well. And I hopefully he'll get a chance to be head coach again. But right now, just take 1 year at a time and stuff. Because when he started real young. And when he called me when I was at the Bucks and he was with Pete Carroll at Southern County, he says, "Dad, I got a chance to be the coach at the Raiders." He's 32 years old. Oakland Raiders is 32 years old. I said, "Have you checked the last time I'm a head coach that meant the Raiders?" I said, "Last time I checked, there were 5 head coaches. The last 4 been fired." And then he was the next guy. After 1 game and 4 games, he was fired.
Right.
Like Mike Shanahan would go there.
Right, yes.
So anyway.
Yeah, well, how many times can you tell the head coach to shut up, kid?
I never said that to Lou Holtz. I'm sure Bob Devaney or Tom Osborne.
Monty, this is fun, man. We appreciate your
time. Yeah, that's all right.
And this is all the knowledge you've dropped today with an N. And great career. What, 50 years now? Or is it a little over that now in coaching?
Well, I started when I was 28. Last time I checked, I think I'm 62. No, I'm still a liar. You can figure it out.
But, we don't need to.
But I started when I was 28, so.
Wow.
But okay. No, it's all been good. I've been very fortunate. I really have. And I, you know what? I owe a lot to the player. I do. I didn't do my career because I'm some great coach. In college, they went back to the Nebraska spring game. And like I told you, I was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. The man, he sent back me to New York, New Jersey to recruit. I'm from a small town, Lexington, Nebraska, land Newark Airport. And I'm going to find these high school players. And I find a guy named Richie Glover from Snyder High School in Jersey City, New Jersey. And Daryl White from East Orange, New Jersey, there. And they went, last year they went back to the spring game now. You know, my age, so they're about 10 years younger, okay? And they called, "Coach Kip, can you get us on the sidelines at the Nebraska spring game?" I just talked to him three weeks ago this spring.
Yeah.
And I stayed close to him for all those years.
Wow.
And they have kids now and this and that, you know. But it's about those players right there. They helped me win in Nebraska, helped me become a good coach, and helped us win. And go on and on and on. And I owe a lot to the players. I really do. I've coached a lot of, when I recruit these kids, they didn't know a whole lot going for them in New Jersey and New York. And so some tough areas and stuff like that. And I appreciate them a lot. Because I've really, what they've done for me, and I've done for them, but it's a two-way go, you know. I wouldn't be there today, and all the guys at the Bucks and all those guys, and busting their butt, I wouldn't have a great career if it wasn't for the great players I've coached and great people. I mean that.
It's well said. Monty Kiffin, Jaguars defensive assistant with us. We're glad you're here with us with the Jags, and we're glad you jumped in today on this interview. Good to see you, Coach.
All right, you bet.
Coming up this week, construction and demolition. The radio studio that we work out of on a daily basis is getting a full redesign and facelift for the first time since 1995. If I do the math right, I was in the eighth grade the year that happened. So we'll have a fully functional multimedia studio. Radio shows will have video elements on Jaguars.com, and all the rest of the building will be connected as well. And the breaking down of the old equipment is underway, and in the next 3 to 4 weeks, we'll be rolling here in studio. This Wednesday, Jaguars.com Live will be on location at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville for the Suns game against the Tennessee Smokies. A special guest will join us, and it should be a nice warm summer day for Kids' Day at the ballpark. The game is at 12:05. We're on the air at 12:30 on Jaguars.com. Also, Thursday night on 1010XL Radio in Jacksonville, Jaguars Thursday Radio, a 6 o'clock start. And yes, the training to beat Maselli in the Stadium 5K in August is underway, and it's going well. The entire office is shut down for the week of the 4th of July, so no podcast next week. But get back with us July 12th after the break for the next J.P. Shadrick podcast. Our thanks to Monty Kiffin for his time, and as always, a special thanks to Jaguars manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. Thank you for listening. I'm J.P. Shadrick, and we'll talk to you next time on the J.P. Shadrick podcast.